Shalom, this is Gamliel Shmalo. In Kohelet chapter 6, we discover that the pursuit of happiness through the pursuit of external stuff, whether that stuff is wealth or property or glory, we discover that such a pursuit is ultimately futile. Our chapter begins by painting a picture of true success, but perhaps excessive success. Wealth, property, glory, 100 children, and many, many years of life. There's an emphasis here on extraordinary quantities. Shanim rabot, v'rav shiyu yimei shanav, many, many years. In verse 6, we will see 1,000 years, twice over. So, this is a guy who has it all. The only thing bigger than his success, it seems, and here's the rub, the only thing bigger than his success is his appetite. And because of his excessive appetite, he's never satisfied. Verse 3 talks about his nefesh not being sated, which is a remarkable way to put it, since in biblical Hebrew, the nefesh is the throat, the gullet, and is used metaphorically to refer to our appetites, our life force. This man has it all, but his gullet is never filled. His appetites are never sated. Some understand that we are dealing here with someone who refuses to use his wealth for a proper purpose, to help him enjoy life. Perhaps he's amassing wealth because he's anxious about the future, or because the size of his bank account is the source of his pride. Like Harpagon, the protagonist of Molière's The Miser, his love for his cash box may end up exceeding his love for his children. He lives in anxious misery, spending nothing, not even for his own funeral expenses. That's how some read this chapter. Rashi, however, looks into the psychology of the frustrated hedonist. His nefesh is not satisfied means he's not happy with his lot, to be content with what he has in hand. Rashi sees a person who indeed permits himself to enjoy his wealth, but his appetites outstrip his ability to satisfy them. This goes beyond what we know about the dangerous results of unbridled appetites, how they can wreck your health or your family or your bank account, like Uri Zohar's character Benny Forman in Einayim Gdolot, Big Eyes. This even goes beyond how unbridled appetites can wreck the second term of an otherwise promising presidency. This gets rather to the inner experience of the hedonist, even as he successfully amasses and enjoys his fortune. What's been referred to as the paradox of hedonism is something recognized by sensitive thinkers and feelers across cultures. Here's a quote from the Dalai Lama in his book, The Art of Happiness. Quote, "In the case of wanting more expensive possessions, if that is based on a mental attitude that just wants more and more, then eventually you'll reach a limit of what you can get. You'll come up against reality. And when you reach that limit, then you'll lose all hope, sink down into depression, and so on. That's one danger inherent in that type of desire. So I think that this kind of excessive desire leads to greed, an exaggerated form of desire based on over-expectation. And when you reflect upon the excesses of greed, you'll find that it leads an individual to a feeling of frustration, disappointment, a lot of confusion, and a lot of problems. When it comes to dealing with greed, one thing that is quite characteristic is that although it arrives by the desire to obtain something, it is not satisfied by obtaining. Therefore, it becomes sort of limitless, sort of bottomless, and that leads to trouble. One interesting thing about greed is that although the underlying motive is to seek satisfaction, the irony is that even after obtaining the object of your desire, you are still not satisfied." So that's the Dalai Lama, and characteristically, he offers that the true antidote of greed is contentment. Now, whether or not that's Kohelet's response is something we can consider, but what is clear is that Kohelet felt that an endless, unending hunger is no way to go through life. In yet another graphic image, he says that it is better to be born stillborn. It is better never to have been exposed to all those possible pleasures of the world than to be endlessly tempted by them. We saw in yesterday's chapter 5 that Kohelet did not recommend an ascetic approach to life, renouncing physical pleasure and material goods. He taught instead that riches and property, honestly earned and honestly enjoyed, is a matat Elohim, a gift from God. What we see in our chapter 6, then, is that those riches and property can be best enjoyed. You know, they can best lead to pleasure and not frustration when we have a sense of modesty, a sense of limits. This is what Dr. Meir Tamari used to call the economy of enough. Dr. Meir Tamari was a dear friend, and he taught at Bar-Ilan and was the chief economist of the Bank of Israel for many years. And he also was one of the fathers of contemporary Jewish business ethics, publishing his seminal book, With All Your Possessions, in 1987. In that work, as well as in his book, The Challenge of Wealth, Tamari took issue with the fundamental assumption of modern economics that more is better than less. In one example after another, he demonstrated that throughout the ages, Jewish communities have taken measures to limit consumption, making it possible for even the wealthy to say, this is enough, and to be happy with their lot. Most recently, for example, the Admor of Gur limited the number of participants at weddings to 300 in order to curb conspicuous consumption, social competition, and often financial difficulty. Tamari points out that both the Admor of Gur and the Admor of Belz have encouraged their followers to move away from Yerushalayim, from Jerusalem, with its high cost of housing, to other areas on the periphery, such as Ashdod, where homes are more reasonable. It seems that today's young adults are increasingly aware of the lessons of our Chapter 6. More than ever, people are choosing careers that are more fulfilling, even if they may end up with less stuff. We're learning to temper our appetites, to appreciate the economy of enough, and to take pleasure in our lot. Together with Kohelet, the wealthiest of kings, we can say that this too is a matat Elohim, a gift of God.